Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, do you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, hello. Okay, great. All right, let's start. Everyone mute, please.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Tonight we have Mike McKenzie sitting in on the show. He used to go by Gunface, but we, as a society, decided one's looks aren't as important as what's inside. Forget the Gunface, it's about your gun heart. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
All right, welcome. It's another excellent edition of the Metal Injection Livecast, and we thank you so much for being a part of it. We have a very great, very fun guest, as if you're watching the video edition, you can see a little teaser. Here he is, Mike McKenzie. Whoa, this is weird, the more I move my hand. But he'll be joining us in a few moments, and you can be joining us if you're watching or listening live. We are live Tuesdays, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. And if you want to be a part of the show, give us a ring-a-ding-ding, 213-WIDE-NUT. That's the number, 213-943-3688. And, of course, if you need yourself a little extra Metal Injection live cast, you can always participate in our Patreon at patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. For as little as $5 a month, you get at least one bonus episode a month. And you also get access to the video archives of all of our episodes since we started doing the videos in quarantine, and you get a bunch of other stuff like Sid has a TV column and a few other fun little videos we do throughout the month. Last month we did a review of the movie Cube, and we're gonna have more fun stuff like that coming up. So that is on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. Let's kick off the show. In addition to my sexy voice, you also have Noah here.
Hello, my background is my foreground.
And she's Noah Your Wounds today. A play on Wear Your Wounds, Mike McKenzie's band. Mm-hmm. And Sid is here as well.
Hello, my back style determines my death style.
And we have a very handsome man. We got Dorinsky over here.
Noah, I thought your background was Romanian-Israeli. What happened? did you renounce your citizenship?
Well, for those of you who don't have video, my background is my dog, who is also sitting in front of me. And I literally just took this picture before we started.
Oh, what a sweetheart he is.
That's how old is your background, Rob, with the red cord guys? Because you look exactly the same.
Maybe at least 10 years, if not more.
Wow. All right.
I look a little skinnier. That is in the backstage of Irving Plaza. Let's bring on Mike right now. He's actually here with us. We have Mike McKenzie. Hello,
hey.
Sir.
Howdy.
And we can't hear your audio yet, Mike.
It's connecting.
Internet audio.
There we go.
Hey,
there you are.
Man.
How's it going, Mike? Thank you so
I'm
much
pretty good.
For hanging out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We were just talking about Rob's background, which you're in.
Irving
Plaza.
It's me and Greg.
And there's Greg. This is my favorite interview ever. Still holds
that was
up.
That was a pretty fun one.
it was at the Summer Slaughter, and basically what we did was, so this is at Irving Plaza, which is a very, very cozy venue, let's say. And
yeah.
The backstage area, whereas most places have like multiple rooms, this was just like somebody's bedroom, it looked like. And this is Summer Slaughter, I think, so there were like 20 bands. And the other thing, too, is this is right in Union Square, like the busiest part of Manhattan. So none of the buses were able to park there. So they basically dropped you guys off and then parked in New Jersey. So you guys kind of had to, like, figure out what to do with yourself the whole day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, yeah, we were – I think we found good parking that day. I think we were in our van. So I think we parked, like, not terribly – we didn't get screwed by the bus New Jersey thing.
I see. But the point I was trying to make is all of these artists are cramped with nowhere to go in these two tiny rooms. And we decide to do the interview right in the middle of it, like right in front of the entrance to the backstage door, which you could see here. And yeah. And the comedy is just people keep running in and interrupting it. And there is no interview. It's just goofing off for 15 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. We basically just verbally assaulted everybody that came through that door, I guess. I think the interview we had done before was maybe the one, another really obnoxious one. So I think we were trying to keep up the obnoxious.
Right. The previous one, I believe, Guy, the vocalist, was also in. This was in Long Island, and that was just you guys. I was actually seeing that one. I was trying to conduct an actual interview and ask you real questions, and you just didn't answer them. So this time I came more prepared.
You know, it's funny. There's that interview that we did with you guys in, I think Frank did it in, it was probably 20, maybe it was like 2011 when we played a show with, I think Cynic played, and it was like a festival that you guys put together, I think. And we did an interview with you or Frank, and Greg and I just ripped into everybody so horribly. It wasn't even funny. And then you guys lost the footage. And I remember being like, I'm so glad they lost that footage because we were such assholes. It was like, people are going to be upset with us.
Wow. I don't even remember.
Well, guess what? We have found that footage. We're going to play it right now.
Cue it up.
It was failed hard drive or something, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I always had suspected, well, maybe they were just being nice to us and they knew that we were making such asses of ourselves that they were just like pretend to lose the recording.
Hey, it's possible.
Have you ever had to do anything like that, Rob?
Pretend to lose the no.
Would you?
I'm trying to think. The only time we didn't really use footage is we interviewed the two dudes from Decapitated right before their terrible van accident and it was the two guys, like the drummer who sadly died, and then the vocalist who has, you know, like life altering issues that he's dealing with day to day. And like the interview itself was like very goofy. It was that Dave Hill that did the interview, and so we're like, well, we can't run
it. It was like just bad it would be the bad taste to do that.
Yeah. Oof. So that was the only time that happened. Other than losing stuff. But anyway, Mike, it's so great to have you on. I feel like we haven't talked in a long time. And the world is going to absolute shit, I feel like you are being very productive and using this time to like do a bunch of really, really fun music. And you have a ton of projects.
I'm trying to. I definitely, I just noticed your usernames on here.
Yeah.
Night and Rob, know where your wounds. A Sid Cord.
Yeah.
Another one of the greatest men. Yeah. What's that?
That was a reference from when Greg was on here.
He called himself one of the greatest
men. That's actually one of your future projects.
No, it's actually our caller called him.
Yeah, it was Pete.
Oh, that's right.
That's great. Yeah, I've been trying to be productive. I'm basically doing the same thing that I would have been doing if there wasn't a pandemic. I would be, you know, the only difference is there would be more certainty, I guess, but I would still be, you know, like we'd recorded the Ember Vitae record already, and the physical got pushed back for obvious reasons, but, you know, we'd already kind of lined up all this stuff. So, I love to stay inside and write music, so it works for me.
I really, really love that record, the Umbra Vitae.
Oh, thank
you. It's like it almost feels like what could be the next evolution of the Red Chord, but obviously it's not the Red Chord. Like, it's really just you from the Red Chord.
Greg's in the band too.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah, and John Rice has been playing with the Red Cord for a while now, so there's a bit of Red Cord influence in there.
Yeah, and then but then also you have Sean playing with you, Sean Martin.
Yeah.
And I really think that you two work really well together. Like your more death metal-y stuff, like his like hardcore riffs, like
yeah.
they really combine well. I'm assuming you guys first started working together with the other like Jacob and the vocalist solo project, Where Your Wounds. Is that where you
yep.
guys first started collaborating? And then were you having so much fun that you were like, let's do more shit? Or how did it, what is the difference between Where Your Wounds and this new band?
Well, when Where Your Wounds was, I think it's we started talking about it. Sort of came about in more than one way. So there was like Sean and Jake had been talking for years about doing a project like this, like long before Where Your Wounds. And then also at the same time, while we were on tour, we were talking about just various projects we wanted to do. And I think I'm not really sure of the first point that it really became a thing, but we were talking and jamming here and there. When we were on tour last year, at the start of our US thing in Louisville, we were staying at this house for a couple days and practicing at Chris Maggio's practice space. And we were like jamming on bits and pieces here. We'd already had been thinking about it. It just sort of happened in this really natural way. I'm really being rambly right now, but you know, we've been wanting to do more death metal, and we would practice it. We'd get ready for tour, and we'd be practicing and kind of jamming a little on stuff or at sound check or whatever. That answer went nowhere. But
no, I get what you're saying. You guys were just jamming and then realized, oh, like you need a little more death metal in the hardcore. So Where Your Wounds is more hardcore, and Umbra is a little more death metal.
Oh, I don't really feel like Where Your Wounds is very hardcore, just because it's slow and
it's like melodic
and jammy.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Both projects, you know, we had various ideas of what they were going to sound like, and then they just every time I'm involved in something, I might have some idea of what I want it to sound like, what I expect it to sound like, what my plan is for it to be, and that never really, it's always a little bit different. Like when we started doing stuff for Umbra Vitae, we talked about, like, I made a playlist of stuff that was in the vein of what we wanted to do, and it was like Deicide, Autopsy, Disincarnate, a bunch of Florida death metal bands and some Swedish stuff. And I don't feel like it really sounds like any of those bands, even though there was a point in time where my brain was saying, make a record that sounds like Autopsy. And obviously that didn't happen. So
there's some Florida riffs in there. There are some death metal riffs here and there. But
Yeah. I mean, there's, it just is what it is. And you know, everybody these days, I feel like everything is so spread out. I mean, every genre is mixed with every other genre. Like, you know, years ago when BT Bam was starting, everybody was like, there's this riff and that riff, and now they're doing this, and now they're doing that. And now every band is like that. Every band has a style, like stylistically all over the place, you know?
Yeah, now there are bands that cite BT Bam as their reference point, which is...
And they're influenced by BT Bam, so they write eclectic sounding arrangements, which is funny because BT Bam didn't do that on purpose. They were just like, whoops, we're into everything, you know?
Yeah. So also you have like two other bands with Greg. Like, are you and Greg are just like, we're not in enough bands together? Like, we need more?
We do often laugh about the fact that we're in a lot of bands together. And we actually, when I started playing in Where Your Wounds, and Greg started, it was a little before that, Greg was playing with Wormwood, and he said at one point, he was like, it's weird being in a band without you. Like, we're in all the same bands with each other. It's weird to play a show and you're not in the band. And I was like, I know, it's strange. But so we added like 10 more bands. there's Sexless Marriage is the thing that, is like the most recent thing. That's Greg playing guitar. I think our friend Chris Johnson is going to play guitar. He recorded it and mixed it. And our friend Chris Bevilacqua plays drums. And Mike Morowitz is the singer. And I play bass in it, actually. So it's like
bass.
Yeah, he was just like, do you want to play bass in this band? And I said, yep, because the answer is always just, yeah. Do you want to? Oh, I'm starting another band. Do you want to be in it? Yep. What is it? It's always yes. What is the project? The yes is first. What's the project? Oh, well, it's, yeah, I already said yes. So of course I'm going to do it. Yeah.
So is there another band or was this the other band, Umbro?
Honestly, I have a spreadsheet. Because I can't. Let me see if I can open it while I'm looking at Zoom. I can. Okay, hold on. Let me look at my spreadsheet here. I have to keep a spreadsheet or else I can't really keep track of everything.
It looks like we just have you on audio now.
Oh, you have me on audio. Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
That's
weird. Share your screen. We can just look at all your information and share
it. That's my tax information here. So let's just, if you can hack my Google Sheets, then you'll find all the projects. Hold on. What is it? It's in a folder called Nighted Throne Releases. This has some of them. Oh yeah. Sexless Marriage is the most recent thing, that Greg and I are in together. Of course. Oh, there's another project that I haven't done anything with yet, but I'm sure that Greg will end up playing in the band, called Piece of Shit Family. And, that's
sensing a theme here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's grindcore stuff. I think we have some other stuff that we've talked about that we haven't done anything with yet. But, you know, I know he has other projects. We're always just writing lots of stuff. And I've been streaming on Twitch lately. And my Ooh. Twitch chat has started developing. We, in the conversation, we, you know, somebody will be like, oh, that's a good band name. And I'm like, well, now I have to start that band, you know? The most recent one that somebody said was Third Twin, which obviously has to be a band. So
yeah,
we're starting.
That sounds like a band name.
What genre is that one going to be?
I don't know. I don't know if we talked about that part.
EDM. That sounds like an EDM.
EDM?
Yeah.
Maybe. Synthwave. Maybe synthwave, a little synthy.
I do have a synth. Wave-ish kind of project actually that I haven't done anything with yet called Dualitist. It's like I have an EP that's finished, but you know, it's just going to sit on my hard drive for another couple of years before I do anything about it.
And you did that 8-bit, was it that Night of Throne or what was the 8-bit?
Oh, Unraveler.
Unraveler, that was it.
Yeah, Unraveler, I released that for free because I was making that record. I was making a Stomach Earth record, and while I was doing that, I was putting all this, like I was getting really very controlling about making the Stomach Earth record, so it was taking a lot out of me. So while I was making it, I was also making the Unraveler record as sort of a release where it's like, this is just fun. There's no expectations. I'm just doing exactly what I feel like doing with no plan. And then I had like 12 songs, so I just released it for free. And then recently I put it up on all the services again through Night of Throne. I plan on doing more, but which is
yeah that stuff is really fun. I remember when it came out, I was really able to get work done playing it. Like in the back.
Oh,
was
that's
great. Distracting.
What's that?
Oh, no. What did you think was
funny? Because somebody, I remember somebody said, well, all you need is a drum machine and you can make a record now. And I was like, well, yeah, I guess. Get a drum machine. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
We have a caller, and you could be on the line talking to Mike McKenzie. 213 Wide Nut. That's the phone number. That's 213-943-3688. We have area code 956. You are live on the Metal Injection Livecast with Mike McKenzie. What's your name, and where are you from? 956.
Ed the Beast. What's going on, guys?
Hey,
what's going on, Ed?
Ed the Beef, hey.
How's it going? Huh?
What's up? Do you have a question for Mike? There's a bit of a delay.
Yeah, no. Okay. Well, first off, sorry, man, but I don't know who you are. Who are you?
Who are you talking to, me or all the other people on this?
No, the Mike guy.
Oh, my name's Mike McKenzie. Who are you?
Oh, my name's Ed. I'm from Deep South Texas. I was wondering what you guys were talking about.
This is Mike.
We were talking about this new band somebody started called Third Twin.
Well, he's blind. You have to give him a little slack. He may not have come in contact with all your media and stuff.
The Third Twin.
Third Twin is one of his bands, Ed. He was also in the Red Corps. He's in Wear Your Wounds. Umbra Vitae. I can't pronounce that.
I can't pronounce it.
But it's
okay.
I'm in too many bands, and spend a lot of time creating new ones, which, you know, sometimes I don't finish them.
This is like when Howard Stern, Stuttering John, would interview celebrities and be like, what are you famous for?
Yeah.
So Mike, so what other than music? I mean, obviously right now there's not much going on, but like, how do you keep busy? What are you doing other than making music, watching programs?
Well, cooking? I have been cooking a little bit. Yeah. But I've been doing most of the same stuff, that my life has only changed. I mean, it's changed a little bit. I work a lot of jobs. So, in addition to starting way too many bands, I also work too many jobs. Right now, most of those jobs are not happening because most of them involve live events. So, I work for a catering company. That's not happening right now. I know those guys are busy, but they're not calling me, you know. They're not having parties. I work for Harvard and I work for MIT and I work at Whole Foods. So Whole Foods is still running. So I still have a job, but yeah, about 75% of my jobs are currently not happening. So I've been writing some music and going to work and making food and yeah, not a whole lot. I mean, I started doing the Twitch stuff. I started streaming.
And you just play retro games, or what kind of games do you play?
I've been playing some old stuff. Lately, I've been playing Dark Souls. I played Hexen Beyond Heretic, which is an old first-person shooter. I do a little bit of music on there. Like today, I worked on a Beyond the Six Steel mix because we have a record that's basically done that I have to finish. So I've been on there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's basically it. Creating more projects and streaming those projects and working and, you know.
Well, and obviously I have to ask about the Red Corps.
Yeah.
Is that just like done?
No, I mean, it's never been. The thing is, I always think it's funny that people assume it's done, because when you look at like a lot of bands that have put out records with long spans of time in between, I mean, people, I guess being on tour a lot back in the day set a precedent for how active the band is. And that means, well, we put out a record every 2-3 years. That means if we don't put one out in 3 years, then we must be on hiatus. But realistically, like, what's the definition of a band? What is it? You know, if you don't put out a record for 10 years, you're not necessarily broken up. We're not getting together.
We're just inactive.
Yeah, I mean, we've been inactive for a while. It's stopped. It's the weirdest, kind of the weirdest way it happened. We were touring relentlessly all the time. And 2011 happened. We did this tour with Gaza and Trap Them, and then we got home and we just like went to our houses and didn't email each other or call each other or talk about tours or take any tours or work on a record. It's almost as if we just went home and pretended it didn't ever happen. It was very strange the way it happened. I think we were all like in need of a break. Not Greg. Greg would have gone forever. One thing that's funny about Greg is he's the only one in the band I feel like who was, 100% at all times. Greg would play a show. If I asked him today, I always laugh. I joke with him about this idea. Like if I asked him right now, you want to play a show tomorrow for one person and we're getting paid nothing and it's tomorrow and it's a band we just made up, he would just say yes. Yeah, immediately. Yeah, I'll play any show, anytime, anywhere. But I know Guy and I were kind of burnt out. I said it a lot back when that happened that it was my doing, but I think it was a group effort. I mean, I was definitely really burnt out at that time. And, yeah, we stopped doing stuff for a while. We didn't really have a plan for it. Greg got a job and, actually at Whole Foods, and he would ask us, he'd ask Guy and I, he'd be like, hey, they're offering me a promotion. Should I take it or are we going to go on tour? And we were like, no, yeah, take the promotion. Yeah, of course. We're not going to tell you not to take, more money. And then that kept happening and he kept like moving up at his job. And then years passed and then we played that show in Japan. Our friend, actually it wasn't that long later. It was only like 3 years later, but, our friend Adam, was it Adam? It was our friend Adam who reached out and was like, you want to play this fest in Japan? We said, sure, let's get our shit together enough to play a show because we want to go to Japan. And we did that. That kind of got the gears turning again. And we played a few fests here and there. And then people thought we were going to do stuff again because we were playing some shows and then we sort of went dormant again. But it's just it's like, different things happening in our lives and, we're playing bands and stuff.
Yeah. Like the reason I say that is just because with this new project, it's like you said, it's basically the Red Chord just about Guy, and with Sean and Jacob included. So that's kind of why I was like, oh, well, I mean, they're writing new music, like the instrumentalists are writing new music, but it's not the Red Chord. So that kind of made me wonder, like, oh, would there ever be another, like, a Red Chord EP or whatever? Like, but you're saying the door is not closed, but it just, there are no plans right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's never really been closed. It's always been, we never made any kind of decision. We always would occasionally talk about it and say, oh, yeah, we'll make another record. And I'm sure at some point we will, but who knows when that'll be. It's really, each year we always have some kind of conversation where we talk about, well, maybe we'll do it this year. Maybe we'll do it this year. It could be years from now. It's hard to say, but every time, every time I basically all this other stuff has been happening where I'm putting my focus somewhere else. So making a Red Chord record takes a lot of time and work. And, for me, at least it's like a lot of emotional bandwidth that I just don't have right now because I'm doing other stuff. Yeah. And it's kind of tough too to like put all that stuff aside, and like put all that work into something, when I'm more inspired to make other music right now. I know Umbra Vitae has some parts that sound Red Chord-ish, but that's just, it wasn't intentional. The parts that I've contributed or the parts that Greg's contributed, are our styles and that it's going to happen. Yeah. But, I don't know. I mean, there's no definitive answer for anything really still after all this time.
I mean, did we think that we were going to live through a pandemic? Anything is possible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We do have one more caller. Let's see if this person is aware of who you are. Area code 224. You're on the Metal Injection Livecast with Mike McKenzie.
Hey, how you doing there, Gumface? Long time fan there, long time first time, however the fuck it goes. Big fan of the Red Gold and all that Red Gold merge, specifically the Red Gold Crocs. You know, I really like those. Those fit fantastic.
Oh, yeah, we worked hard on those. Thanks. It's tough to get the logo all around the holes in the Crocs.
Oh, yeah, good stuff. I got one more question. I'm actually the triangle player for Chelsea Green Band. I was wondering if I could get a tryout for Ladder Up an Ass project, if that's still going or not.
Oh, that's a deep reference right there.
Ladder Up an Ass, yeah.
Listen. Thank you. Take care, Mike.
All right, take it easy.
He's done. Thank you for your excellent references.
I was going to tell him he could be in Ladder Up an Ass, but he hung up. So
we'll never know.
There
who
goes
he is.
His chance.
Yeah.
That's a great thing to kind of wind down on, because about now it's been like 12 years since this happened, where all the bands on Mayhem Fest made up a fake band, Ladder Up an Ass, and it closed the second stage of the festival, and it was the most obnoxious thing. It was like you, Corey Taylor from Slipknot, like everyone was in this band. Everyone but I think Dragon Force, because they were about to go on.
I think they ran over to the end of our set to be it. I think a couple of the guys made it over for the end, but
and this was
yeah,
the
we
last
had to play
the tour.
We had to play at the same time as them. So
now I remember Clown from Slipknot demanded to shoot video footage of this because the venue was a union venue and would not allow this sort of thing without paying the union for setting up the stage or whatever. He was like, "Oh, we just need to document this. We're never gonna show this anywhere." The venue is closed. It has been closed for a decade.
Release this
footage. Yeah,
I didn't realize they closed. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. The venue as it was at the time is no longer like it's a different owner bought it. It's like that the Nassau Coliseum no longer exists.
Wow.
So now,
well,
maybe
then
this footage can be released.
Do they allow filming at the new venue?
No.
They don't.
But also, you were in the parking lot. To be fair, you weren't in the venue.
We were in the parking lot. And there is footage, and I do have it.
Oh.
And it's incredible because it's edited and everything.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Rob, Ladder Up an Ass only plays parking lots. They insist on parking lots.
We play parking lots. We were going to play a second show. Actually, your story earlier about Decapitated made me think of this. We were going to play a second performance on the tour, but then Phil from Machine Head had like a fall on stage where his like knee gave out or something. And they were playing right before when Ladder Up an Ass was going to play. So we just, and we were like, oh, it would be in poor taste to go on and act like total idiots right now, right after Phil was hurt. I think it was his knee. Anyway, he had an injury and, so we decided
to ruin
his injury ruined. So the
funniest part of that story, though, as I remember, is like Corey Taylor demanded that like there be delivered so many of this. What one particular instrument? What was the instrument?
It was the triangle.
Okay.
He actually spent a good amount of money on that project because he rented a tuba or a sousaphone, and he didn't. He lost his deposit of like $250 because someone threw a marshmallow peep into it. Because we were throwing marshmallow peeps at the audience, because the band had this whole backstory about how we're trying to protect gummy animals and we believe that gummy animals and marshmallow animals are really alive. We're trying to protect them. So I guess we throw them at people. I don't know. Someone's phone is blown up. So then he had gotten that. He lost his deposit on the rental, and then and he paid for the we got all these the triangles were all handmade. Somebody on the tour made them out of a bunch of scrap metal. What else happened? We had all these
t-shirts. I feel like something had to be delivered.
The tuba. It might have been the tuba.
Yeah.
there were a few different things. I remember him saying at one point, I was like, wow, you're spending some money on this. Like, that's, are you sure you want to do that? And he was like, well, you know, I could like, you know, I could like buy a used car, or I could do Ladder of an Ass, which, his spirit was really in it. It was definitely, it was one of those moments where Greg and I have done a lot of like ridiculous, goofy bands with each other, like last minute bands where we get on a real show. And this was the most ridiculous. And we were walking on stage and looking at each other going, we're really doing this. Like, we're going to do this. There were 2,000 people, I think, watching us when we started, and probably like 10 by the time we were done.
It was like, everyone hated it. I think what really worked is what you and Greg had the insane idea. And by having Corey Taylor on board, who like was basically the most powerful person on that entire festival,
yeah.
All of your dumb ideas were going to happen because he signed off on them.
All the stupidity converged. Yeah. Corey was just as much a mastermind behind Ladder Up and Ass as us. And it was a lot of conversations at breakfast or lunch at the catering area every day where we were coming up with this idea. And a couple of the Walls of Jericho guys and Bron from Mastodon and a bunch of people, we would sit around and talk about these stupid ideas. And then one day we were like, what if we just got on one of the shows? And that's when Corey was like, I could get us on one of the shows. And then it became a real thing. And of course we were like, well, yeah, we're guys that say yes to everything. So we're obviously going to do this really stupid thing. And the whole point was to really annoy the crowd and get them to leave because we wanted to be so obnoxious that no one could even stand it. And I think we did it.
I think you did too. And I was so impressed. And that's why I think we need to release the video tape.
Yeah.
Well, we saw the guy that has it.
Yeah, it might be time. And like, we don't have to say where it happened. You know, we don't have to like get those Google alerts going.
You could put a virtual background.
We'd have to edit it a little because there is some, you can see where we are. There's all this behind the scenes footage leading up to it.
Oh, my God.
There's all this great, it's very fun and stupid. All our music was pre-recorded. We recorded all the songs on my Boss BR-8 8-track that I brought on the tour with really bad drum machine stuff. And it was all mostly recorded in the van. And then we just blared it over the PA while we ran up.
I do remember Corey Taylor blew off a ton of interviews that day because he was in the van with you guys recording stuff. And I was just like, this is surreal. Like, what's going on?
It was, it was a good time.
So, maybe at least just send it to me. I just like to see it. I'll sign an NDA or something after I release it.
All right. If I can find it, it's somewhere on a hard drive, but I do have it.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us. It's been so great to catch up with you. And and if we weren't in this whole quarantine thing, was there a plan to do shows with this Umbra VK band?
Yes. I'm not sure. Umbra Vitae probably would have played shows around this. I mean, we might have played them a little earlier, but we do have plans. We do want to play some stuff. I'm not sure when that'll happen, obviously, because of this.
Right.
And also because we have, guys that live in different states and stuff. But it will happen at some point, unless the world ends before venues open.
Venues all closed because they run out of money. Oh!
Yeah. And we obviously, our world is the last to come back in all this. But when it does, we'll play for sure.
Awesome. Well, Mike, thank you so much. Everyone needs to go and check out this album, Umbra Vitae. Features Converge's Jacob Bannon, Sean Martin, the former of the Apree, Greg Weeks of many popular bands, and Charm. So good stuff. And all of Mike's bands. Mike, rattle off some other band names. Stomacher.
Oh.
Beyond the Sixth Seal. You already said those. Night of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So
spreadsheet. Just send us the spreadsheet, we'll post it.
Yeah, I'll post it. I'll give you a spreadsheet. I got more. I got new ones that I'm not going to announce yet, but there's more because I'm a total masochist. So.
Cool. Well, thank you again, Mike, and we'll let you go.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. Good to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
All right, take it easy.
He's out of here. All right.
Did we just have our own Fartgate situation?
Yeah.
I don't think it was a Fartgate. I think that was him.
What?
I assume it was him.
I didn't catch it.
He gave a little smile.
He adjusted, and there was definitely a fart sound. It was quite prominent.
Yeah.
Wow.
213 Wide Nut, if you heard it, give us a call. It's important.
I thought that, like, because Darren was moving, so I thought that Darren, like, had pressed mute, and he thought he was muted, and he did it.
Nope.
But it was Darren.
Mike was moving also, so I thought it was like a...
No, it was definitely Mike, because he smiled right after. Like, he gave it away.
Oh, I guess I was looking at Darren's screen.
That's well, if that's true, if he did fart, that means we have a tic-tac-toe of people who have farted in all these three backgrounds here. Farted on air.
Yeah. It works.
They've all farted on a live broadcast.
I farted on air. Or at least
I'm sure it's happened.
I've definitely farted on air, but I don't know that it was audible. Like, I think I tried to.
Yeah.
I also time my meals, so I don't usually have gas or shit brewing when we do the show. But it's happened.
It's natural.
11 years. No, yeah, of course it's natural, but I'm just saying, like, I'd rather not, like, break up the show if possible or break my underwear.
Well, speaking of breaking up the show, let's get a little lighthearted with I want to quickly do a screen share.
Don't we have a special message?
Oh, we do have a special message. We have a very important announcement about a very important album.
Yes, very, very important, especially to me.
And that is, of course, that this month, Sweden's Falconer will release their new album, No Avior Endorsed Falconer.
That's the name?
It's the sticker on the album.
Okay.
No,
I guess
Avior,
it's not
Endorsed.
The name, but they bought a paid endorsement from Noah.
No, they didn't have to pay me.
This is an organic endorsement. So Sweden's Falconer will release their new album From a Dying Ember via Metal Blade Records this month. It was mixed and mastered by the legendary Andy LaRocque. And From a Dying Ember is a folk power metal smash that will surely please old and new fans alike. So, no, I think you'll like it.
I'm definitely an old fan.
Okay, which one are you calling her?
You can purchase your copy right now at metalblade.com/Falconer.
Falconer's back, baby.
Excited? I love that Mountain Man boy. That is.
Do you want to hear a little sample of their new single?
Sure.
It's a dream.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that kind of soaring stuff. Yeah.
Great.
Hey, Steve.
Chased by the sun, I'm running. Yeah! Ever burning up
by the line.
Oh my god, the horses are galloping!
I lead through the left, I'm rushing through the right, losing my mind in the thigh. I ran to the left, I'm rushing to the right. That was
Rob's first joke.
I'm in a hurry to the right.
Falconer From a Dying Ember, out now on Metal Blade Records.
And that was only a joke. There's no corny Rob puns on this album, so don't let that deter you from buying
it. Well, speaking of corny puns, great transition, Darren. Sid found this commercial, and we're blown away by it. And longtime fans, I think, will be really blown away by it because I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. So let me share my screen here. So that for our video folks, they could see that as well.
Is it frozen?
No, I'm just making a weird face.
Here we go. Here it is.
Oh, yes.
That was it.
Oh,
She doesn't have the, I would say, the panache of Kaya.
Well, there's so much to analyze here. Of all the songs to parody.
This is a law firm, everybody.
A law firm.
Video.
You use my neck, my crack, my pussy, my back. What?
She didn't say pussy and back.
I understand.
They used the two most relevant things to a law firm, I would say.
Right. Yes. You can sue for someone touching your pussy or your crack. But.
That's true. You know, maybe there's an offshoot commercial in the works.
And also, I like that they write that they speak Russian in the commercial.
Wait, now, how do you sing that song in Russian?
Go ahead.
Go, Rob.
How do you say net in Russian?
The Kaya.
Call your mom and ask her.
Maya Shea. How do you say back?
Come on.
I'm asking you, Rob.
I'm on the. Yeah, you sing it too.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not a singer. I'm the lyricist.
Just rapping. You can just rap it.
I really think this is like maybe like an intern or a paralegal at the place trying to impress the higher ups. Like, I could do our commercial and save us a lot of money.
No, that's Chrissy G. She's like. That's like her name on the law firm. What are you talking about?
Wait, what?
Isn't it like the lady in the image?
I was going to ask you that because there's, for those of you listening on audio only, there's like a bimbo. Like she's got like a, and I don't mean it disparagingly, like she has that style of.
He means the cookies.
Yeah, she's got like, you play it again. You'll see. I mean, we can describe it.
Well, I just loaded her Instagram page.
Hello.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
She is a hashtag lady shark.
Oh, that
New
is
York,
her.
She has a lot of followers.
I didn't
York
know. I thought maybe they just got a model to represent the law firm.
No, look,
no, that's
she
Chrissy
is.
G.
New York okay. and federal attorney. She's no bimbo, Darren. She's got her law degree.
No, no, I was careful to say that. I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but that's the style that she's putting.
And I like all these flags represented here, all these different, is this her ethnicities? I don't understand.
Or maybe those are, like, ethnicities of her clients?
She asks them when they come in. She wants to collect all the flags.
So it's like a combination of thirst traps and then like ads.
It's definitely like 90% thirst traps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, yes. The further down, there's no more. But I like, I got the office here. I want you so obsessed. You have my picture in your wallet. That's her caption.
Not even your business card, your picture? Come on, ma'am. What kind of professional are you?
I always wonder about the guy. Can you go back to the last screen you were just on with the text there when you went to click on a picture? There's all these, like, this. Whenever you look at an Instagram picture, there's, like, there's one guy just saying, you're beautiful and gorgeous and adorable.
Oh, yeah, the reply guys, they're called.
Hey, well, what do you think that's going to accomplish? Like, do you think
in my head, I really think that they think that by offering a compliment that Chrissy G will see it and be like, oh, he likes me.
And she'll click on his
look at
profile.
That, yeah, look at that. Look at that avatar.
Do we want to blow him up and see who that guy is?
Amori. Well, this is a public profile.
He's got his own.
Either of these guys.
Wait a minute.
Oh no.
Is that the Dominican Mark B? Oh, what's going on here? Oh my God.
It looks like he only posts memes here too.
Oh.
So.
Oh. Oh, well.
So it's like she sees this like, oh, a man of culture. I'm definitely gonna hit him up.
And he finds me attractive.
Yeah, that's so rare.
He's just trying to put positivity out into the world. Whatever comes back, comes back.
So this is her law firm.
Well, it's a celebration every time we link up. Hashtag your lawyer's favorite lawyer.
This is so strange.
Oh, she's the litigator of the year.
I mean, she's killing it. We got to, like, appreciate this.
Real recognizes real, Noah?
Real is recognizing real. Look at that. She can go to the office dressed like that.
I mean, to be fair, though, she could use, like, I feel like her interactions are a bit low. She feels like she has a low like to fan ratio.
Okay, press the bikini one. I guarantee that's a lot.
2,500. I feel like
that's good.
I mean, it's good, but.
But yeah, she has like five digits in followers or something.
She's got 42,000 followers. So with not only 2K, that's not a lot of engagement.
Yeah, it's not engaging.
And that's
also,
gonna have a
and also
more.
It could also mean that some of her followers are fake.
Yeah.
A little Instagram lesson for you.
Or,
I will say, there's not many OnlyFans pages where you could get legal representation.
she could be too busy doing this fucking law to engage with her Instagram page, getting people off of, you know, drug charges and stuff. Why don't you go just bump up your Instagram page, lady?
It doesn't seem like she's doing that kind of law. It seems like she's an ambulance chaser, right? Like,
yeah, well, no, I was just kidding.
Oh, no, Vince Neil's cameo's temporarily unavailable.
Segue.
What happened, Rob?
You mentioned the OnlyFans, which reminded me of Vince Neil.
This is a visual segue.
Yeah.
I do want to, so, right, that's true. Vince Neil does kind of look like
that's an insult to her.
I mean, no. I mean, like, he looks like, you know,
she looks like him 30 years ago.
Yeah. Like, she obviously looks better. Don't get me wrong. But I want to say that, Cameo.
He would definitely, let's just say, he would definitely have hired her to represent him in the case of killing that guy from NLF. 100%. Doesn't
killing
even
Razzle.
Care what qualifications.
Yeah. I think Vince Neil looks more like the Amori, the reply guy. That told her she was beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Well, the reason I mentioned this, like, we had a lot of fun a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago now, with Vince Neil's cameo page. And then if you recall, like, a week after, his really drunken one went viral, which was this one right here.
Yeah.
Let's just play it again.
Oh, hey, he's Boomhauer. Hey,
so
he's a proud devil, man.
I want to mention that the guy commented, like, oh, my name is actually David. So, again, to quickly recap, he was charging $400 for these and, like, completely phoning them in, like a 30-second message. And we played all of them. Like, you can clearly see he did 4-in-1 shot, and he did this one. And at the time that we initially did this, Cameo only had the 5 most recent ones, but now they've updated their interface, and now there's more. There's so many.
Oh,
there's
wow.
All these new Vince Neil testimonials. Again, people paid $400 for this video, and he sets the price. It's not like Cameo sets the price. You set the price. Cameo takes the cut.
But
Can I get a question?
Is he wrong?
Can I just give Vince some credit? It looks like he's wearing a different hat in each one of these photos. He's got himself a kick-ass hat collection.
These look like earlier ones. And I do want to mention, after this went viral, Vince Neil is now temporarily unavailable.
Too much demand.
Too much color.
So let's. We might have seen this one, but let's play it again. $400. He couldn't even remember the names. Like, those are 3 names. He's on a private jet. You could see in the reflection of his glasses. He has his phone right to his face. He couldn't just, like, take a second to remember these fucking $400.
Hey, this is Vince Neil. Give a shout out to Itchy. Oh, no, that's what my balls are. Because I'm going to wash them in 14 days. And I got a long ass beard, too.
Let's see this one. This one,
please.
Looks like a fucking murderer. Like, he's been around a bank.
He looks like he's wearing face prosthetics.
Yeah,
he
looks like David Koresh plus the Cyclones mascot King Henry.
You know what I realized? This is the only one. The reason why we're, like, so weirded out by this is the only one where the shot isn't completely blown out by the window in the background or something. Like, I think that's why he looks so weird, because this is what he actually looks like.
Why do the people all put themselves in, like, the lower 30% of the picture, too? Like, John Cleese did that.
They just don't know how to use a phone. Yeah. I mean,
there's a display. You're looking at it. Why
you're looking
you
at yourself. That's the best part. It's like they don't care. Vince doesn't care. He just wants the money and go back to doing a shot.
And then
he's got this wine in the background.
Oh man.
That's like supermarket one. He's got like a little avatar of himself, so you can compare what he looked like 10 years ago to the mess that he is now.
I want to point out, he says, hey, this is Vince DiLeo. Like, who am I?
You got to check my notes here. Oh, yeah, Vince Neil here. Sorry, I've been on a bit of a bender. Vince Neil, y'all. Sounds like fucking Cousin Brucey 60s on 6. Hey, who am I? Oh, yeah, Cousin Brucey. Gonna play the Shirelles next up.
This is Vince Neil here.
Hey, which member of Motley Crue am I? Oh yeah, Vince Neil here.
It is possible that this is Mick Mars in a skin suit. He might really need to remind himself.
Hey, Vince Neil skin suit on top of Mick Mars here. Just thought I would give a big shout out to Itchy.
The skin suit is very itchy.
Skin suit is mighty itchy, causing me a rash. Anyway, make sure to shout at the devil for me.
Oh my god.
We'll see you soon.
Hey, just get landed. I need to get some of that Primo Peruvian, baby. CBS FM.
Did he say I whoop-de-doo one of those myself?
And now back to this message here.
He said I went through that myself at some point.
This is like the conversation you hear like in a hospital room between like roommates at a hospital.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what you have? Diabetes? No, me too. I was through that too. It's a dialysis.
He doesn't even 59.
Oh, he doesn't even know that he has a cameo. He's just a conversation he's having with the guy on the next bed. And they record it, and someone makes that 400 from the cameo app.
Elder abuse. It's the nurse at the home. She just films the.
Hey, Vince Neil here. Just had my catheter changed. Just want to give a shout out. A shout out the devil. This is Dr. Feel Good Itchy.
Oh.
You're going to do the eyes, huh? And then girl, and then we shout at the devil, and then we live wire.
This is like a man watching a man slowly die.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I said this the last time, but it's like the T-1000 going into the lava at the end of Terminator 2, and he's just phasing through all the songs he ever sang. We're live wire, girls. Oh, man, help me,
We have played maybe 20 seconds of audio, and it's so rich with things to talk about. Such a rich.
He doesn't even have a beard. Like, it looks like he was eating like room temperature Malamars, and everything just got smeared all over around his face.
It looks like he has a bald spot on his mustache right here.
It looks like he's wearing a choker.
Noah, do you remember those?
He is wearing a choker. Look,
you remember those magnetic toys where you would like magnetize the hair onto a guy's face?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what it looks like someone did to him, but they
like Fuzzy Larry or something like that.
Fuzzy Jim. Hey, Fuzzy Larry here. I want to give a shout out to Devil to Itchy. Game on, Rob.
You gotta close them all out with that. All right, let's see. Is this the same thing? Different hat.
Fatter.
It looks like the same shirt and different glasses.
It's got a Vegas Golden Knights hat. NHL.
I wouldn't
That's
be surprised
back
if
when he was trying and he was actually changing his hats as he was recording the video.
He wasn't trying to stop eating them Malamars, though. Yeah, look, go back and compare. Like, he's fatter. He's clearly fatter in this picture than the left one, right? Those be fatter up there, but those are newer ones.
Yeah, these are newer. So, yeah, you could see, I feel it's like in reverse chronological order, so you could see the weight gain.
Oof, that bottom right one with the blue hat, look at that. Jesus Christ.
That is the best lighting because it's like proper lighting for him. That's why it looks so.
It looks like Kevin James.
He looks like the guy in Tiger King who stole the fucking place from Joe Exotic. What's his name? Jeff?
That was like 8 years ago. I don't remember any names for that show.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Honestly, right, well, in the one with the blue hat, he looks sort of like a drag king. Like if it was like a sort of chubby woman who they made up to look like a Miami douchebag.
Yeah.
That's her drag king persona.
Yeah. Let's go to this one first then.
I can see it. You Jew. Happy birthday, you Jew.
It's not like you said a Vera Vera.
See, you're gonna need you to go back to control of the media when you're done partying, all right? Go jack up some rent for me. Keep on rocking. You know, Mick Mars was a Jew. I don't know if I told you that.
He just goes off. And George Soros, don't get me started. Yeah.
I mean, that would be worth $400.
That's true.
Mick Mars tried to Jew me out of $400. That's why God gave him scoliosis.
Oh,
Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Yeah, you've definitely been having a happy birthday month, Fish Neil. Yeah, maybe have a few less months of happy birthday celebration.
Maybe a little less Carvel cake.
Keep rocking, buddy. Hope to see you. Okay,
all right, you fucking Jew. Get out of here now. Go do
all right, last one.
Things.
Last one.
You see this one? Oh, no. Well, I was
that might have been the most coherent one.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to slip in another Jew reference there. I was hoping.
I like his David Yurman necklace.
David Yurman?
What is that?
David Yurman.
That's a medical alert bracelet. Or necklace.
Do not resuscitate.
Please.
Asleep.
Hey, Vince Neil here. Just want to remind any paramedics coming to see me. That if you're watching this, I'm dead. Please, please do not perform any CPR and bring me back to life. Very happy to die. All right, keep on rocking.
Well, the guy from
Big E.
What's his face? From Friday and the No Holds Barred.
Where am I looking?
Scroll up.
Oh, Tiny Lister. Yes.
Oh, Zeus.
Oh, my God.
He looks half asleep.
I mean, they don't have a way of cropping up.
Wait, that's the video. Look.
Wait, did
that's
people,
the whole video.
Wait, don't play it yet. Don't play it yet. Hold on. Oh, that's the whole video?
That's the whole big one. That's it. It's
not. Someone requested him to do his famous You Got Knocked the Fuck Out pose from Friday. So he's just laying there.
Yeah. Let's see another one.
It's Devo. He's calling himself Devo.
All right, well, we get it.
So you can request him to be in character? Devo's in character.
I mean, it depends on the person, I guess, if they're willing to do that.
Does he know he's not that guy?
Good question.
Is this, like, heavily slanted toward the African-American community?
I'm noticing this as well. The home page of Patreon is all...
Oh, wait, are you on, like, did you click a tab that it's black?
No, I'm on, look, cameo.com.
Oh,
that's home. It's the home page. So they're just highlighting black and queer voices.
Oh, okay. I see.
And so Reggie Jackson.
Oh, my God. Rajay Davis. Who likes Rajay Davis enough to do that?
He's probably, how much does he cost?
Whoa. Look at this wig.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. Leslie.
Maybe he's not really bored and just shaved it down for the show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I guess that's true.
Yeah, oh, come on.
He knows how to frame himself and smile for the camera, unlike some of these other clowns.
Well, not that. The middle one, he's like lower half again.
Yeah.
He fixes it.
Noah.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
That's weird. At least this
All right, look,
one
we don't
is
have to go
long.
That's easier cameo. That's
yeah, this is worth $300,
yeah.
I feel.
He put some effort. He remembered the person's name. He knows who he is. And he put a little touch of humor into it, too.
Yeah.
It's a pro.
Excellent. Well done. Vince Neil, go look at his cameo.
Take some notes, Vince.
Rob, when are you going to get on cameo?
No, nobody wants that.
It would be funny to see if anybody actually requests you. You should do it. Like, what does it cost money
That's
to have
minimum,
a page?
Yeah.
No, what should I set my price?
What's the minimum? A dollar? Like, what can you... No, seriously, I'm not saying you're worth a dollar. I'm saying set the minimum and just see what happens.
How dare you. Yeah, I guess I would do it for $5. A dollar is a little... Come on.
I don't know what their minimum is.
I want a milkshake out of it, at least.
I would log in with the Livecast credit card and make Rob say Jose Mangan is a piece of shit over and over again until he deleted his page.
Okay, well, now he's not going to do cameo because everyone's going to come up with that idea.
They were going to do that anyway.
Also, you don't have to, like, you have to approve the request. You don't automatically are committed to it.
You should do it, Rob.
I'll do it for you, Sid.
Thank you.
Do it for like a month.
Well, I want to see what videos you end up making.
I mean, it would be closer to Vince Neil.
We should do one where we all do cameos, but we do it like as Vince Neil.
So yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
If you want a Vince Neil cameo, we just do it for you cheaper, and we do it better than he does.
Hey, keep it rocking. It's Vince Neil here, and it says here that Jim, you're 45, according to
he's got extreme.
You're girls, and I just want to say that
you sound too sober, Rob.
And I like girls, and I call them up on a live wire, and then we wanted dead or alive, and that's how you know my song, but you get the point.
I'm in the hospital getting a catheter put in, and I don't Dr. Feelgood right now. Someone please help me, and keep on rocking.
Now, let me ask, do they have to approve you, Rob? Like, can Cameo say, no, you're not famous enough, stay off?
I mean, that's a good question, I don't know.
I think this week we need to find out the answers to these pressing questions.
Perhaps we run a poll to see if I should make a cameo first, and then.
All right.
Hey, this is Vince Neil having a poll run up my butthole by a doctor right now. I'm told it's very, very necessary. Someone please help me and keep on rocking.
Oh, Vince.
I also wanted to play. Not play, but talk about another throwback to a live cast meme. And this was a big one. Let me share the screen just so you guys could see it. And here it is.
Yeah.
Wait,
what?
Wait
is
a
this
minute.
Real?
Wait a minute. But it doesn't, he's selling, it says, wait, we have an audio portion here. It says,
let's
I am the table. Metallica's James Hetfield now selling coffee table people. And there's a picture of a table, but it's got his face on it. I mean, table.
Well, this isn't what he's selling. No, this is the I am the table meme.
I would have bought that table. I'll be real.
Well, what's actually going on? And also, let's just for a classic moment in live cast history. Like, we seriously spent 2 years laughing about this, at least. But since James Hetfield's been sheltering in place, he's been hanging out at home, he's not touring, he needed something to do. He has like a craft shop, because James Hetfield's a man. And he's been building these coffee tables. And so now they're auctioning off the tables for their charity called the All Within My Hands Foundation. And all the money raised goes to, like, good causes. And it's, I guess it's supporting welding programs.
But the table doesn't support anything.
Yeah.
Also, they look like it's a pretty small coffee table. This looks more like a table you'd leave, like, by your door to, like, drop your keys on, you know, like
end table.
End table.
Or like a nightstand or something.
Maybe you could use it as an ottoman, put your feet up on it.
The ends are too sharp for them.
There's a disclaimer that comes in the package with the table. It says these were all made, like, during his rehab, during his arts and crafts hour.
Oh.
So he was in severe withdrawal and shaking, so they may wobble a little bit.
And they've got, like, water ring damage on all of them because he just put his
beer on there.
Yeah.
He can get beer in rehab. He's a big star. He's a most
yeah.
Beer's okay. Come on, guys. Right? Am I right?
I don't think so.
So how much are these all sold now? Can
yeah,
we
I
still
was
going to
say.
Well, then it's an auction. So,
okay.
Rob, how much would you pay for those?
How much would I pay for
this? This is what you do with the money you make from Cameo.
Oh, no.
No, see, so you, okay, that's fair.
Isn't that how economics work?
By the way, it's called the COVID collection. Is that right? I don't know that that's a great name.
Yeah, that's a weird choice.
He sneezes on the table and gives the name.
They're all contagious.
Yeah.
Do you want to catch COVID-19 from James Hetfield?
Hey, you know, James Hetfield's DNA could be pretty valuable, I would say. You know, like, it might be worth more than the actual table if you just clone James Hetfield.
It's like that Rick and Morty episode. He sneezes on the table and everyone starts falling in love with James Hetfield all around the world.
Oh, yeah.
So to clarify, you donate and the donation is equivalent
like
to raffle tickets. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pick names out randomly.
So you don't even get a fucking table, definitely, if you give like $500 or whatever?
Yeah.
Correct. But your chances of getting it are higher because you're donating more. There are more raffle tickets in the pool.
And of all the charitable things we could donate to right now, this is for welding programs?
Well, they do.
Sure.
They do tons of charity stuff.
It looked like
stuff,
for like some scholars.
Food banks.
Like
hey, James, we have a Black Lives Matter or no, welding. Welding.
Yes.
You sure? To give the COVID victim, welding, motherfucker. Welding.
I mean, I guess are black people allowed to take the welding program?
What do you mean?
Because then he could sort of say it's still a black charity.
Okay.
I'm just trying to help James out.
I don't see why they wouldn't be allowed.
Listen,
like
I don't know. I don't know where James stands politically.
Like a KKK welding broker.
I mean, who do you expect to see if you walk into a welding class?
I guess.
Certain
yeah.
type.
Seems like James Hetfield did have some kind of a racist statement before, right? Didn't he do like a racist song that got released?
Did he?
Yeah, Rob.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
Years ago, though. I mean, he's a changed man now. Sure.
James Hetfield? I don't remember this.
Yeah, it was like he was. Some footage was released of him backstage at a show, and he was making fun of rap music or something by rapping himself. And like, hey, anyone
he was
can
drinking
do
white
this.
Wine at the time.
It was like that, but not as. Oh, he didn't do a Sieg Heil or anything.
Well, there is a photo of him and Lars doing a Sieg Heil.
Is that true? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. What was the context?
I don't know the context. It's just a photo. I mean,
they
were drinking
white
wine.
They were at a Klan rally. Oh, okay. Well, that
it was 3 days ago.
There was some Proud Boys that counter protesting.
Yeah.
Let's see if I'm trying
we're
to find
Fly Guys.
he was replying to Christina Grigoriopoulos. And he thought he would impress her by doing a Seattle Nazi thing. Oh my God. That's why he felt he needed to do a charity.
Here it is. Here we go. Here, I'll show it really quick.
Sieg Heil, yeah!
Oh.
Oh,
dear.
Oh, boy.
Envy!
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I can. Well, Lars looks like he's real into it. James looks like he's doing.
Then there's this.
Oh my god.
We should say what's going on for the audio.
This would be this we've written about on Metal Injection. James Hanneman and Gary Holt giving a sick heil. Jeff Hanneman. Sorry.
Is that Chad Kroeger? In the upper left?
I questioned it. I thought it was him at first.
With Kerry King and Rob Flynn in the photo. But, I mean.
Cool.
Good stuff. I like also that when you look up Sig Heil, James Hetfield, Lars Sig Heil, the singer of Rammstein is in the search.
He pops up in any Sig Heil.
Like a lot. It doesn't matter. Like what?
You can just look up Hitler doing Sig Heil and you'll find him in there.
He's like the opposite of a race.
I don't say he's a racist. I just said his photos got into it.
It's very SEO, I guess.
Is he the opposite?
Yes.
If you look it up, it would be a picture of the
least racist person you've ever met.
That's right.
Yeah, if German, you know what I mean? Even if you could be the least racist person, you sound kind of racist.
Yeah.
Even if he has great intentions, I don't know that he's the opposite of a racist. Just because
they mock that. I mean,
just because he sounds like Hitler.
Yeah.
That's all.
Why does he sound like it? Because he speaks German.
Because he speaks German. German
just German sounds Hitler-y.
German just sounds Hitler-y. I'm sorry, Hitler-y.
I mean, isn't that more on you? That's kind of like, you know,
it's not on me. It's just, I like I said, I'm not saying the guy's a racist. I'm just saying.
It is. I'm saying this is how you perceive it. So it is on you because German what you're saying
very,
is not factually true.
German is a very warlike sounding language. It's
I'm with Darren on this one.
Aggressive and forceful.
But it's very warlike sounding because you just don't understand what they're saying. Like
no,
German,
I don't agree. I don't agree. I don't understand what Italians are saying, but it sounds very mellifluous. I'm not making
German
this up. There's certain consonants that are emphasized make you sound more belligerent. I mean, German has like that very staccato kind of speech pattern. You know?
Rob, do we get a lot of downloads from Germany?
Yes.
We do?
Yeah.
Yeah, they love heavy metal.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. I disagree with Darren. German sounds great. They're the best.
I think German people are awesome. I'm not saying they're all Hitler. I'm saying it's a very rough language.
What percentage of German people would you say are Hitler?
Well, they've outlawed any kind of racism displays there, right? So I would say
maybe
the
very
have left and stuff, or they're undercover.
That's true.
I think they've done more to combat like public racism than any other country, just because of what any Western country, because of what they have to have in their past. You know?
Yeah.
Well, there is another story that I wanted to talk about before we wrap up, and this was honestly the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. The tweet was Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal, who likes to advertise his aromatic candles shaped like male genitalia on Twitter, has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom.
Every word of that owns so hard. That is. Can you just read that again? That is. I just reveled in every single word that you just said.
Hey, Vince Neil here. Spanish.
Oh, no.
Wait, Spanish. I didn't give you $400. Shit. All right. You do a good job anyway.
Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal, who likes to advertise his aromatic aromatic candles shaped like male genitalia on Twitter, has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom.
Do the candles also have balls?
Well, let's see. A porn star has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom. Spanish
has
police
to be repeated.
Wednesday. Nacho Vidal was detained last week in the southeastern Valencia region in connection with the death of a man in July 2019. Media identified the victim as fashion photographer Jose Luis Abad,
Good guy. It's a tragedy.
The police operation began following the victim's death during a celebration of a mystic ritual based on the inhalation of venom of the Bufo alvarius toad, a police statement said.
Are you sure it wasn't the Bofa toad?
Bofa?
Bofa, he's nuts.
I got it. I got it. I was setting you up.
Thank you for this treatment.
That candle definitely has nuts.
So the article explains that the toad, a rare species which is native to the Sonoran Desert, stretching from northern Mexico into California and Arizona, secretes venom containing a very powerful natural psychedelic substance known as 5-MeO-DMT. It's like, okay.
I think it's this is the toad that started Burning Man.
Well, I mean, DMT, I've definitely heard about being like a crazy psychoactive. So I guess
stands for Desmartitis.
Its effects have been compared to
ayahuasca.
I've never seen it written out. Ayahuasca. Good.
Oh, Robert.
I'm gonna go now.
Rob, you're not the true pothead I thought you were.
Rob, you're behind Greg Reese.
I mean, this has nothing to do with. The effects have been compared to ayahuasca, a powerful host. Huh? What?
Apex. Not
the
apex.
Effect.
What did you say wrong?
Well, I thought he said apex.
I said it's effects. How about you stop correcting me and open those ears and listen to what I'm saying?
Open.
She's got penis candle wax in her ear. She can't hear you.
And toad venom. Can we get... Noah, is Nacho Vidal hiding out in your house? Can we pay $400 and get Vince Neil to read this article?
Yes.
So we can move on? That'll be clearer.
Hey, I'm doing toad venom too.
It fell some ayahuasca. Did I say that right? Jose. I think I got some of that in my IV bag.
Why name yourself Nacho Vidal?
Well, Nacho is a nickname for Ignacio in Spanish, so maybe it's that.
Oh, yeah, I know that from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But what's his real name? Is it even Ignacio?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's his real name, Ignacio Vidal.
Oh, the porn actor.
I don't know about the last.
I thought you were talking about the Breaking Bad character. Better Call Saul character. I could look it up.
Okay. Maybe after the show.
Well, we are wrapping it up. This show absolutely flew by.
His name is Ignacio. His name is Ignacio, but not Vidal. Ignacio Gonzalez.
Yeah, you never want to use your real name in porn because then people track you down. You don't want.
I mean, Sid just did a Google search. It was that easy to find
him. Wikipedia.
So that's going to do it for us. We're going to be back next week. Same sexy time, same sexy station. Being metalinjection.net/livecast, where you watch it. We're also on all the streaming stuffs. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts.
Are we on Podbean?
I think so.
That's an
app.
No.
Yes.
Remove us from Podbean immediately.
Are we on Podbean? Let's see.
Nothing cool about Podbean.
We are on Podbean.
Hey,
actually.
Look at that.
We're very much on Podbean.
How do we get on all these like little ones? Just by like they get distributed by the bigger ones, isn't it?
The internet? RSS feed?
Well, no, I just submitted. Yeah, I submit our RSS feed to all these.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you did that.
Syndication.
Good job, Rob. Killing it.
So, yeah, we're on all those services, so you can stream. All of our archives are free, and if you want a little extra, and you know, you do listen to the archives, you feel like you're getting a lot of entertainment from us, you want to support the show, please hit up our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. For as little as $5 a month, you can get access to all of our bonus episodes, as I mentioned at the top of the show.
which this month include a really, really fun movie draft where we each draft, like the movie stars all of us. And so we draft a different actor to play each of us, and then a director and a writer, and we talk about the plot of the movie, and it came out to be a really, really fun episode. You can watch that right now or listen to it at patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And so since it's the end, I think there's only one thing left to do.
Ooh.
And it's
and it's sit here awkwardly.
And it just sit here awkwardly.
Well, Noah moaned.
Noah, we went overtime over like the usual hour and a half. So were you having a relaxation session scheduled? You couldn't wait.
I was shouting at the devil.
Well, before we go, I want to ask Viz Zeal to give a shout out to all of our top podcasts. It says right here that to be a top podcast metal leak, you should donate about $10 a month to metalinjection.net. No, to patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast.
Come on,
I answer all that stuff. But let me shout out these people. We got Eric. We got Rob Baganucci. I was that name? Rob Baganucci, really good. AKA Justice. Then we got N Jamine. Then we got an L Dude Rihanna. Then we got
whoa. You read that one wrong. Go back.
Let me do that again.
That guy paid $400.
L Dude Reno. That's a real name. I never call anyone a Dude Reno. Well, maybe Razzle, but we know what happened there. And then we got Dan R. R stands for R. We're done yet. number six, we got Kyle Decaf. Vince Steele doesn't drink Kyle Decaf. The only thing is a lot beer.
Keep it moving.
We got Mindy Mayer's Kuiper. What's a Kuiper? I don't know. Vince Steele.
Wayne Kuiper.
we got a Croc Destroyer. Vince Steele has destroyed some Crocs to this day. Let me tell you, I gotta wear a lot of that when I'm out of the pool because it's having a girl.
This is like Roots.
Yeah. We got a Sam. I am. Shout out the devil, buddy. Okay, rock and roll.
And now hour three of the Patreon shout out.
So we got a Justin and Jander. Justin and Jander. These are two different people. Then we got a Shushur. Finally, we have a few more. We got a LaCroix. I'm a big fan of your sparkling water. And the Crustacean Sensation, a.k.a. God Stomper. All right. I don't stomp God. I believe in God. God gets it through every day. And number 15, you got Ash Bosley of, bless your heart, Ash, and say hello to your mom. And we got Dallas. I once played a really bad show in Dallas. I don't want to talk about it, so let me just move on. then we got a Rob of Vampiro, Vampiro, Vampiro. I don't really like Vampires, but I like Shane. Hey, buddy, how you doing, Shane? Hope you're doing well. Say hi.
I'll pay you $400 to move along.
And then we got, hey, guys, it's Josh. And Josh, you know, that's how you got the latest.
Way stickier than the original.
So that's the shout out. And the music is done.
That was like the live cast version of Ladder Up an Ass. You said that they came out at the very end to get everybody to leave, right? That's basically what he just did for the podcast.
Good. I'm glad. We'll see you next week, everyone.
Shout out up an ass.
It ain't smart to leave a track. Cause I'll find it when I'm back. It ain't smart to leave a track. Cause I'll find it when I'm back.
Okay.
Okay.
That's great. Very good.
Alright. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
So, Noah, right. You said Thursday you can't do six. When? What do we want to do with that? Later Thursday? Do we want to do a different night?
I mean, if we could do it from like 7 to 8, but do you think it'll be later than 8? Because I have like a 9 o'clock.
Good. You could always be like technical difficulties and stuff like that. So you want to If it's that tight of a window, we should do it another day.
Would that be technical difficult? I mean, like, we're just...
These are pretty straightforward. I think 7 to 8 is fine.
I mean, like, the recording is scheduled from 6 to 6.30, so I'm giving it, like, another, like, 15 minutes, give or take. 6.45, I'll be done.
Okay.
I'll save my file from that Zoom session, and then log on to the next, and I'll be fine.
Okay.
But I just have to leave my house by 8.